This day of remembrance for the victims of Katrina comes less than a week after the anniversary of the September 11th attacks. My guest, Alice Siebold, wrote an op-ed piece for the New York Times reflecting on both catastrophic events titled Living with the Dead. Siebold is the author of the best-selling novel, The Lovely Bones, which is written from the point of view of a 14-year-old girl who was raped and murdered and is now in heaven watching her family and friends carry on without her. We invited Siebold to read an excerpt of her piece, Living with the Dead.
What can the living do in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina and 9/11, where loss has greeted us twice on a national scale in such a short span of years? Do the dead wish you to suffer? Do they want you to watch CNN and Fox News for days on end? Do they want your guilt or pity? All of these things are like jewels to them. In other words, valueless where they have gone. Instead, a woman wants her husband not to forget her, but to go on and live. A child longs for a lost mother's arms again. A man grows peaceful when his partner finds new love. Some of the dead, I imagine, get enraged at these things. They are dead after all. They get to do and feel, I hope, what they want to. The living, who are close to the dead, have a well-marked path of grief to walk down. But what about the rest of us? What can we, the distant, those of us who live in Nebraska or California or the very tip of Maine, do? You are in your kitchen or your backyard or stuck on an endless elevator ride. You are sitting with a book in the park. Perhaps it is an image you remember having seen. A handmade grave of sheets and bricks. Here lies Vera. God help us. Perhaps it is the voice from a message left on an answering machine. They have told us to remain at our desks. I'm okay, Mom. I love you. Perhaps it is less specific. Bodies falling from high windows. Bodies floating in muddy water. Bodies wrapped in dirty bedding and tucked along the sides of bridges and highways. The faces of the missing, taped and tacked up on a wall. Whatever it is that comes to you in 3 months, 6 months, a year or more, don't turn the page of your book and forget. Don't stab the elevator button, trying to hurry up the trip. Stop. These tragedies, it's worth remembering, grant us an opportunity to understand what is perhaps our finest raw material, our humanity, the way we at our best treat one another, the way we listen to one another, the way we grieve.
Alice Siebold, thanks for reading that. Why did you decide to write this piece?
I think I was overwhelmed, as almost all of us were, by the images coming out of New Orleans and how helpless almost all of us were, those who were there and those far away. And in that helplessness, I just kept seeing the people who were dying, or who were at that grave that I speak of in the in that passage, "Here lies Vera, God help us." That was an image that had a lot of impact on me because it was a pretty early image, and it was a beautiful grave, and it was out of sheets and rocks, and it talked about, even in the midst of all that helplessness, the attention that was given to that dead body, and it touched me a lot. And I think out of those images, I just felt like I wanted to go to some kind of prayer. In some sense, the piece that I wrote is some type of prayer for me in that way, to acknowledge the dead and to hope to have communion between the living and the dead.
You know, your piece is about the importance of keeping the dead in our memory, and that's what this day is about. Why does that feel so important to you? And we're talking here of dead people that you don't know. Where do you live?
I live in California.
Right. So you're at a remove.
Right.
So how does one keep alive the memory of the dead that you don't even know?
Well, I think, you know, the honest answer to that is you will never know the specific facts of these people's lives. So you can't grieve them or honor them in the same way of those people that did know them. Perhaps part of it is because I naturally go toward narrative, but you honor them by thinking of them, by remembering the images that you might not wish to remember. that might be difficult to think about, and by imagining them struggling for life and acknowledging that you could be in that very position yourself. So it is it's a certain sense of putting yourself in the position of the person who has died and honoring them in that moment.
And you think that just like thinking about the dead is a potent way of doing that? It doesn't have to be a more formal kind of prayer.
That is what I do because I like I said, I'm not somebody who prays in a formal way. I think that it you have to be very aware of what you're doing, and you're doing it for them and for yourself simultaneously. I think it can be very potent, and I think sometimes what's dangerous about a more formalized prayer is that you end up saying words that you're not connecting with necessarily. You're doing it because, oh, well, this is the time to pray. We pray now, and then tomorrow I go and buy an SUV. And my sense is that, no, make it fluid, make it, in some sense, whenever it comes to you, as opposed to a specific time. You know, I would hope that one doesn't have to be efficient about grief and that it can be spread across whatever days that the images come back to you. This is something that's going to be, you know, in our newspapers and on our television for a very long time. And the idea that it only exists when the TV is on or it only exists one day of the week, I think is a foolish belief.
On this day of remembrance, what do you think is like the power of keeping people in our memories?
First of all, I think part of it is just it comes down to how you want to live. And so you are making a conscious choice to keep them in your memory. For me, I will say in a very selfish, it's a selfish choice for me to think that the dead are somehow present in life. It's a form of playing with the world in some sense, and inviting the dead to play with you instead of sealing them off forever as separate from us. I think that that's what I just instinctually feel doesn't make sense, is that when people die, they're gone physically, but they're everywhere simultaneously, I think.
Alice Siebold, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Alice Siebold's article, Living with the Dead, was published last Sunday in the New York Times. Coming up, Gregory Davis of the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. He's played hundreds of New Orleans jazz funerals. This is Fresh Air.